Retronauts means life. Well, it does in our latest patron-exclusive episode, anyway. Sony's PlayStation Vita launched in Japan just a smidgen over 10 years ago, which means it's now eligible for us to discuss as an official old thing. So, we do. Talk about it, I mean. Specifically, it's myself, Stuart Jip, and relentless Vita chronicler Sandeep Rai this week, talking about all the good things Vita, all the bad things Vita, and how much better Vita shoulda, coulda, woulda had it. Despite largely vanishing without a trace in the US, Vita netted itself quite a passionate fanbase, and we're fond of the little guy ourselves. So enjoy this episode preview, then head over to patreon.com/retronauts and sign up for the $5 a month exclusive episode subscription tier to enjoy the whole show. Plus a 2-year backlog of bi-weekly exclusive episodes, as well as a whole lot of weekly columns and mini podcasts by Diamond Fight, plus Discord access. Gosh, that's a lot. And all for like 1/20th of the price of a Vita memory card at patreon.com/retronauts. It actually, the Vita ended up with quite a lot of software, like 1,300 games total, I think, because even though Sony was kind of like, everyone else said, hey, neat little system, we like this. And so it was a kind of a thriving haven for indie games.
It was definitely. And obviously in Japan, it did pretty well as well. But yeah, the last indie game only came out about 5-6 months ago. So it got 9.5 years worth of gaming support, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah, that last little trickle, that one game released in 2021. I made a note of what it was. Where is that?
Ultramission, I think you had on the...
Ultramission, yes.
It was July 20th. That was the last day of Vita, digital releases on the Vita. Seven games came out
okay.
That day. Seven, so Ultramission okay. was one, but definitely the best one was Russian Subway Dogs, which is a great game.
I was just going to say, isn't the Vita version of Mighty No. 9 not officially cancelled? I mean, surely that's coming.
I don't know how that would happen, because Sony has cut off digital releases and there are no more cartridges left to print on.
But that would mean that they were dishonest in the Kickstarter about Mighty No. 9. And I didn't expect to get this news today.
that's a whole other podcast. The PlayStation Vita lasted a long time and is officially defunct. But you know, I kind of wanted to get one of my bosses on this episode, Douglas Bogart, the co-founder of Limited Run Games, because he was a huge Vita fan, and really in its early days, the first couple of years of its life, while there were still cartridges available to publish on, Limited Run really kind of made Vita its bread and butter. Then Switch came along, and everyone who was kind of into Vita said, oh, Switch. And also the rest of the world said, oh, Switch. And so it was a huge success, unlike Vita. But, you know, I think if you look at the Limited Run library, the first couple of years of it, it's really remarkable how many Vita games the company released. And, you know, that's only a tiny slice of the games that were available, because they really focused on indie releases. And there were so many indies. Really, I think they would have been happy to have brought everything from Vita into physical form, but there just wasn't the ability, from what I understand. And I don't know any inside stories here, but from what I've heard, Sony just said, yeah, we stopped making Vita cartridges. There are no more to pick up. And they kept making them in Japan, I believe, for a couple of years after in the US. So like PlayAsia, I think, still occasionally puts out games, physical games for Vita, or they did up until recently, because they had access to that pure supply of Japanese cartridges. Whereas over in the West, we were like, well, that's it. So yeah, that was kind of it. Like, it's one of those things you don't really think about, like allocation of resources and just the fact that there's still an audience for these games. Like, you know, I think if we published Vita games right now, we'd sell a few thousand copies of it if it were something decent, but it's just not possible because Sony's like, yeah, we turned off the tap and there's no more, there's nothing more. So, yeah, just kind of a strange little system in a lot of ways.
Yeah, its life was really interesting, the way Sony treated it. And, you know, it's one of the things that it's always a little bit sad about it. When you think about other systems, there's normally a successor that comes out to them. You know, whenever Nintendo releases a system, there'll be another system coming. But, you know, when it comes to the Vita and also the Dreamcast, these are two systems that are really beloved by people, but will never get their kind of successor. They'll never get the follow-up console that it deserved.
Yeah, Dreamcast is understandable because Sega was just like, we're done. That's it. Yeah. No more. We're not dealing with the console side of business anymore. Like, we'll make games, but we're not doing the hardware manufacturer. But in terms of Vita, I think the success of Switch demonstrates that, you know, kind of the direction Sony was going with Vita, if they had gone that next step, they could have had a huge hit.
Yeah.
But they didn't. And I think, Stuart, go ahead.
I was just going to say, similarly, it really feels like if they'd launched the Vita even 5 or 10 years later, it could have done really well with the sort of resurgence of like PlayStation Studios and stuff. They could have really like intertwined those, I hate saying this, intertwined those IPs and such, could some exclusives out, maybe a little bit less touching. And I really think they could have done well with it.
Yeah, I think if you look at the fortunes of the 3DS and the Vita, it kind of shows the difference between how companies look at portable gaming kind of as a second thought, unless they have to look at it as their main business, because Sony had the PS3, which was pretty successful, and then launched the PS4 shortly, like a year and a half, 2 years almost after the Vita. And that was an immediate huge success. And at that point, Sony was like, why do we have to make these kind of cut down games that don't have much storage capacity on the cartridges, that, you know, don't have much power, they have to be optimized for a mobile chipset, when we could just be making PS4 games that, you know, take full advantage of all the power available to us. Whereas Nintendo, they launched the 3DS and it also kind of struggled at the beginning. And they said, oh my God, we've got to make this thing work because we can't fall back on Wii U. That launch is not doing anything for us. So they really pulled out all the stops, and the 3DS became their main bread and butter for a while Wii U was kind of like this thing that they were like, please buy this. No. Okay. And now, you know, they have the Switch, which is a hybrid console and portable. But again, I really think Sony was heading in that direction. And I've heard rumors, I don't know if they're true, but I've heard rumors from people who have enough connections inside the business, not anyone I work with, but, you know, just people I know in the industry, who have said Sony was working on a device that was basically Switch. And, you know, when Vita went away, they were just like, why should we divide up our, you know, our resources and our attention and have, you know, some of our business dedicated to this portable system that's not doing as well for us, where we know that the PS4 is just going to make money hand over fist. So they killed that product idea and it never saw the light of day. And Nintendo stepped in and was like, hey, why don't we do that? And they did. And now look at us. Everyone's happy because we have PS4, PS5 are very successful. Switch is very successful. I feel like there doesn't need to be console wars. We can all just be happy and play video games. Also, there's Xbox.